Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Happy February, everybody. Welcome back to the Travel Pulse Podcast. We are back with a fresh episode here to start off the month for you. I'm Dan Callahan. I am one of your co-hosts coming from Travel Pulse headquarters in beautiful southern New Jersey on a 50-degree February day up here. And I'm joined by co-host and managing editor of TravelPulse.com, Eric Bowman. Eric, how you doing?
I'm good, Dan. I am loving life. I'm currently on paternity leave, but here I am on the Travel Pulse Podcast because it never stops. That's what we do, bringing you the top news and insights of the travel world. So it is finally February, as you mentioned, Dan, which is great. The internet seems to think that January has like 50 something days in it, but that is not the case. It only has 31 people. Stop freaking out. But I'm glad it's February. It's my birthday month. I'm a new dad. I'm looking forward to any family travel destinations that you like. We love to hear from you in general. Podcast@travelpulse.com is the way to reach us. Any feedback or insights that you have on the show, we'd love to hear from you. So hit us up.
Yeah, it'd be great to hear from you. And any tips for Eric for traveling with a newborn baby, that would be amazing. I know Eric's going to be coming up next week for our Travie Awards, which we're going to talk about on the episode coming up here. Eric, what are you going to be doing to, you got a big month ahead of you. You got a newborn baby. It's your birthday month. Are you going to be, you know, just packing it on to get like full dad bod mode for the summer, or what are you going to do there?
No, man, I'm actually trying to get a new workout routine in and get better health-wise. I actually lost 11 pounds in January.
Oh, wow.
So that was awesome. Yesterday was a big cheat day for me because it was the Super Bowl. So today's National Football Hangover Day, which is always the day after the Super Bowl. So it was cool actually to see travel show up in the Super Bowl last night through some of the commercials. So you can check out a piece on TravelPulse.com to see the travel-related commercial spots that we had up there. Hard Rock International had one that was directed by Michael Bay. Jamaica also had one and showcased the beautiful island there. I definitely recommend visiting Jamaica if you've never been, but you can check out the travel-related commercial spots up on our website right now.
Awesome. Yeah. And I saw a few of those different commercials that were in there. I mean, Hard Rock definitely laid into there with the different famous and celebrity appearances. It was pretty crazy. I mean, they had J-Lo, who was the halftime entertainment. They had a number of other very recognizable people, from Pitbull to DJ Khaled, everybody like you mentioned there. Definitely the star-studded commercial. So they definitely got their, I guess, money's worth out of the celebrities in there for that $5.6 million price tag just to run the ad. Cost that much, and however much they had to pay all the celebrities they included, it was probably a very hefty commercial. So they're investing big, and it'd be interesting to see how those bookings go for them going forward. So that would be interesting. But yeah, we wrapped up all the different commercials, so you could see Turkish Airlines, Hard Rock, that's on TravelPulse.com, amongst a bunch of different articles we've been covering in the news, and we're going to talk about that a lot today in our upcoming segment with an agent. We're going to have a great interview here coming up for you, talking everything from the coronavirus to Brexit to a number of different things, kind of going to go in detail some different things that agents can take advantage of right now, as well as some tips for travelers of some of the destinations you can get a really good deal from right now, and where agents should be looking to send their clients as well. But yeah, speaking of some of the trending things we've been covering, and I know, Eric, you've been out on paternity leave, but you still have been in the loop on everything happening coronavirus related. And I don't know how out of the loop you are, Eric, but the coronavirus, this isn't another story of the tainted alcohol in Mexico kind of thing. This is something completely separate.
No, it's not to be associated with the Corona beer. I did see that the last week that was a trending search was like beer virus on Google and Corona beer virus, which was kind of, I guess, not surprising around some of the people in America.
But not at all.
The virus is, it's a big story. It's costing the travel industry billions of dollars right now. Airlines have stopped routes to China. Cruise lines have canceled voyages as well. Trump's now tightening restrictions on China travel. Over 20 airports in the U.S. have added special screening for travelers coming in from China. The story's not going to go away for right now. It's going to keep happening. I think we just had, actually today, a cruise ship in the Caribbean. Was that right, Dan?
Yeah.
Wouldn't let a cruise ship come into port?
Yeah, cruise ship St. Lucia. They denied a cruise ship of over 3,000 people from coming into the island because there were some cases of upper respiratory things going on the cruise ship of 3,000-plus passengers. And I get the, you know, I can understand having the precautions in place. You don't want to bring in a cruise ship full of people that have a deadly virus or something, which I get. But, you know, I think that was a little overboard, I guess pun intended on that one with it being a cruise ship. But upper respiratory stuff, people coming in from cruise ship, I didn't read or see in there exactly where they were coming from. But you know how people travel and people tend to get sick and stuff. And it's like, it could be, I don't know. They had upper respiratory stuff. They didn't take into account any of these things. That's what I've seen a lot about. And we've seen stories. There was a woman that she had symptoms of the coronavirus in a airport in France, and she wanted to go to a Michelin star restaurant. So she got her somehow was able to get her temperature below a certain level so she could get through the security checkpoints that they had from health officials there so that she could leave the airport and go to a Michelin star restaurant. It turned out she didn't have coronavirus, but she had the symptoms. And that's what I've seen a lot about is they have the symptoms of it and they have the symptoms. And I've seen all this stuff about symptoms, but I haven't really been able to dive down into like, okay, what symptom are they saying they have? Is it a runny nose, a cough? I mean, how many millions of people could have those symptoms? I don't know. It seems a little, people are kind of freaking out over it. A lot of it has to do with how the media is attacking it. I know our interview is going to touch on this a lot, so I'm going to save some talking points for that. But yeah, it is going a little crazy. St. Lucia did turn away that cruise ship. So if you have clients that are traveling or if you are traveling and are running into anything and you're coming up with stuff, definitely be mindful and have information ready about how things are being handled right now all around the world. We have a lot of it on Travel Pulse. And if you have any questions that you would like answered, feel free to shoot us a question. We can get that answered for you at podcast@travelpulse.com.
Yeah, I did see the woman who snuck past security there just so she could go to France. And I get it. If you booked a trip, you want to travel, you want to go somewhere, you may not be feeling well, you still want to go. Just take precautions. Be smart, people. I mean, you shouldn't really be trying to spread illnesses around to people. Wash your hands. I personally think the flu here in the U.S. is a bigger issue right now than the coronavirus. Obviously, the coronavirus is trending, and that's why we're talking about it now. I think, as you mentioned, the way the media is attacking it too, Dan, is that's all anyone else wants to talk about at the moment. So just wash your hands, people.
Exactly. And that's something so easy that you can do. Wash your hands. I try not to, especially in airports, I try not to touch anything. I see so many people just, you know, touch, even on the subways when I'm in Philly and New York. Oh, yeah. And it's like, I try and not touch anything with my hands at all, whether you're in an airport, subway, anything like that. I mean, I just naturally do it. And I wouldn't call myself a germaphobe by any stretch. I just know and have been around it enough to see what goes on those different railings and, you know, benches and seats that, like, yeah, I'm not going to touch that, in a million years. But, so that's an easy thing that you can do to try and stay healthy. We'll talk about some other tips like that coming up here in the episode too. But I think one of the other things now that Brexit is in effect, what does that mean for travelers trying to go either into England, Europe, you know, how's that affecting people, traveling now or some of the things that you've covered with that, Eric?
Yeah, it's been like 3 years coming now for Brexit, but it's actually official as of January 31st. It went down. So right now, it actually doesn't mean much because they're in the transition period. So for U.S. travelers, there's not much of an impact. It's during the transition period. Everything remains the same through the end of 2020 right now. So in fact, I would actually recommend now is a great time to go to Britain. The Travi, it's a Travi nominated destination. More coming up on the Travis later in the show and obviously next week as the awards take place in the fine New York City. Right now, the dollar is actually stronger than the pound, so go visit the United Kingdom. It's a good place to be. The future, though, as a U.S. traveler, you might see delays and busier lines at customs as the EU, people from the EU have to go in the same lines and deal with everything that. But right now, you know, you're good to go. You'll be fine. You shouldn't really worry too much about the about Brexit if you're a U.S. traveler right now.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that was pointed out in an article we covered on Travel Pulse about checking your cell phone provider, just because of the different roaming charges and how things are going to be, you know, structured a little bit differently or something, you know, along those lines of different bills. I know some people travel and they think that they're getting, like, for me, I have a Verizon 10, a certain amount of gigabytes a day for $10 a day. And you got to really check like the countries that you're going into and where, you know, these roaming charges are applying to. Otherwise, you could be left with a pretty hefty bill that you may not be able to see your way out of. So really check that. I mean, that's just a good tip in general for traveling internationally when using your data plan.
Absolutely.
If you're not just going to connect to Wi-Fi, and it's really easy to connect and bounce around from Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi, because sit on your phone and Wi-Fi in the hotel or wherever you're staying at, and so many places in public have Wi-Fi. You know, many countries.
Or get your own personal Wi-Fi hotspot, but you got to be careful with Wi-Fi and especially public Wi-Fi access, because hackers are out there and they'll come for you.
Exactly. So definitely want to be careful of that. That's something to look into for Brexit reasons. Also, just traveling internationally in general, check with your own cell phone provider on that. But you know, while we're speaking about the UK, that is a destination that was featured in an Oscar nominated movie, one that I have not seen yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about. I know we've covered, when it comes to travel, a lot of movies inspire people to travel, because movies are filmed all over the place, some exotic destinations, some places that are really close to home as well. So there could be interesting angles for you to want to go see where some of these movies have been, you know, filmed from all over the world. So Eric, what are some of the destinations that were mentioned in this piece that we did for different movies that have been nominated for Oscars in 2020?
Some of the destinations for this year would be New York. It's probably a big one. It was featured in multiple movies. The Joker, you know, a lot of people want to go up and down the steps, just like the Joker did in those movies. So I might actually try to get to that when we're out in New York next week, Dan, if time allows. So New York was also in The Irishman and Marriage Story, which also Marriage Story also featured Los Angeles, as did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino. For the international side of things, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker is up for some like special effects stuff. So they had on location and shoots in Jordan, and Jojo Rabbit is kind of like the dark horse movie in this. It had shoots in Czech Republic and Prague. So those are some of the top destinations for the Oscars of this one. But my all time favorite movie location that I know still inspires many travelers out there has to be New Zealand for the Lord of the Rings movie. Just absolutely beautiful location shots. You can actually take helicopters and fly around up on tours up there and see the beautiful location shots that they did. They also have the Hobbit Town stuff too. So Dan, do you have a favorite movie or favorite movie location that speaks to you?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I couldn't think of anything really in particular, but out of the bunch of nominations from the Oscars this year, and I was flipping through there, and obviously I spent an entire day getting ready to watch The Irishman. It's 3.5 hours long. I honestly didn't know much about that before watching it. But yeah, obviously parts of it were filmed in Philadelphia, or were at least set to be filmed in Philadelphia. My family's from Philly. I grew up in the Philly area my entire life, and that's, you know, currently where I still live. And so it was great to see a lot of places that I recognized, knew, and it's stories that came directly out of there. I didn't know all this stuff about Jimmy Hoffa and the guy, Frank Sheeran, and how all these things came together. It was a great movie. If you're coming from elsewhere in the country, from far away, I'm sure you can spend your entire trip getting to Philadelphia watching this movie. I mean, it's a 3.5 hour long one, so you know,
it was a long one. Yeah,
it was, but there was a lot of spots in there that are great to see in Philly that are still there. One of them, one Italian restaurant, the name is slipping the mind of me right now, but it is it's still there in the Italian market in Philadelphia. One of the clubs where they had a big dinner with Jimmy Hoffa and a bunch of really prominent Philadelphia people was actually at the Latin Casino, which was over in Cherry Hill, which isn't there anymore. That's in South Jersey. I was wondering, I was like, where is that in Philadelphia? But that closed long before I was born. But no, there's a lot of great historical cool places. But if you're coming to Philly and you're expecting it to still be mobbed up like it was during this movie time, like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, all of that is pretty much dead and gone at this point out of Philadelphia. There's not that much of a mob presence. It was always like the minor leagues compared to the New York major league things. There was always some type of activity, but most of those guys have pretty much either moved on. They're either no longer with us in a jail cell, or they opened a Italian restaurant in their wife's name, and that's how they're moving money now. I mean, that's at least how I've seen it. I lived in South Philly for a number of years. A lot of ex-mobsters opened up corner bars and restaurants. Just how it works, but it's still a great city to visit and see a lot of really interesting places. And you can check out a lot of other filming spots around there, like all the Rocky movies, all 37 of them, a lot of filming spots around Philly too. So no, definitely worth visiting.
Used to live like right around the corner from Pat's and Gino's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Philly cheesesteak fave, Pat's and Gino throwdown. I actually drove it turned into like a 13-hour drive because of traffic and rain. But I literally drove to Philadelphia because I wanted authentic Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Yeah.
And we ate a bunch of them. That was pretty much all we ate for the weekend that we were there. So
yeah.
I know you have a favorite though, Dan.
Well, I have a favorite. I'm a little biased towards Gino's because I am personally friends with Gino. I knew his dad. I know him. I see him all the time. I've done work with Gino, and obviously I love his. You know, I've had Pat's once in my life. I mean, it was all right. I like Gino's. Tony Luke's is another good one. I took you there when you came into Philly a few years ago. Tony Luke is another friend of mine. Great spot down in South Philly. They have him in the stadiums. He's like outfitted in the sports stadiums. One of my favorites, if I want to go, because everybody says the best cheesesteaks are going to be in Philly. They're not the touristy ones like Gino's, Pat's, Tony Luke's, whatever. You know, you got Jim's on South Street, all these different ones. It's usually the smaller places where you get some good ones. Growing up in New Jersey, though, right across the river, there is a cheesesteak spot called Gitano's. They got locations all over. They're probably like close to a dozen locations now. Totally different kind of cheesesteak than what you get in Philly, and I'm just so accustomed to loving that. They're huge. It's chopped differently. You still get the whiz and American cheese, but those I definitely recommend. But if you're in Philly, you got to go to Gino's just because, say, you went to Gino's. But if you're looking elsewhere, there's Jim's on South Street, and then you got D'Alessandro's up in Northwest Philly. So many great spots. But the one trick is if it's advertised as a Philly cheesesteak, it is not a Philly cheesesteak. And they do not say, hey, we have Philly cheesesteaks. You know, that's like what Subway does nationally across the country. Usually it's just Jim's steaks, or all it has to say is Gino's steaks or Pat's steaks. If it's Philly cheesesteak, it's probably not the best Philly cheesesteak, if one at all. So that's a pro tip for Philly cheesesteaks for you, everybody.
From the Philly man himself. So, yeah. Yes. All right, Dan, I think we got our interview with coming up with our travel agent. So let's get to that.
Yeah, Eric, definitely. And right now we actually have on the line a agent that we're bringing in for our segment. And this agent coming on the line with us now is Paul Smith of Travel Smiths. And we met in the DR a couple months ago when we were doing a forum with the Dominican Republic Tourism Board and Apple Leisure Group. And I'm going to let him give a brief intro to who he is and what he's all about. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Dan. Eric, thank you very much for having me on. Hey, by the way, we did have a good time in the DR.
Definitely. Very good time.
It was a great time. Plus, I think we were doing a little good for the country, too.
We did a lot. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. It was a great thing. I believe Travel Pulse did to bring some advisors down there, let them see the country, let them experience the Hard Rock and Secrets and Dreams. And we also went to the Ryu properties, too, and also got a chance to get out and talk to the people, which was really cool. You know, it's pretty interesting on the plane, it was actually starting to look full. So that gives me a little hope that the DR is coming back, that, you know, the fake news or the misinformation that was given out by the mainstream media was defunct by the FBI. So
yeah,
It makes me feel good. Plus, we're seeing people coming back. Listen, you can't deny that value, Dan. It is tremendous.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we can, all agree that now that those numbers in the DR are starting to come back, they're finally getting past, like you were saying, the misinformation around mainstream media that are, you know, chasing the clicks and the, you know, traffic to their sites by talking about the DR, this and that. And I think now it's finally, if the news cycles moves past it, it was debunked by the FBI and their findings. And now, you know, they're starting to get their tourism numbers back, which is great because that was my first time there. And what a destination that was. I mean, I was blown away.
That beach, you can't beat it. Holy catfish.
Yeah. I've mentioned it so many times on this podcast, whether it was that beach is one of the ones, I think it was at a Secrets Cap Cana we were, and I was just like, I don't know how you can go from, you know, coming back here to some of the beaches anywhere else, or especially in the U.S. I mean, there's tons of beautiful beaches. You and I are used to the Jersey Shore, and I was like, once I come down here, it's like, how can I go back to something like that? Like, this, that was like just so, out of this world. Amazing.
Yeah, well, listen, I live at the Jersey Shore, right? I live here in Point Pleasant. It's a resort area. And, you know, as weather got colder, right, you know, our business gets busier. You know, so at Travelsmiths, you know, the fact that we've been in the business, you know, for the last 34 years, you know, we have 24 team members and 16 advisors, you know, and we go all over the world. We love to travel. But I still tell you, look, New Jersey has some great beaches, but those DR beaches are ridiculous. They have to be seen. And listen, with the price of the DR right now and the availability of rooms, oh my, you could get a fantastic vacation for very little amount of money.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably going to, you know, come up here in a few minutes when we talk about some places that you would recommend to some travelers. I mean, the DR is definitely going to be at the top of that list. And while we're speaking of that, too, of misinformation with the going around in the media, and this one might not be misinformation, and it is maybe a little bit blown out of proportion regarding the coronavirus. Eric and I were talking a little bit about this, and you know, Eric, do you want to touch on like some of the things news-wise that you've been covering on Travel Pulse as it relates to coronavirus?
Yeah, we've seen, as I mentioned earlier in the show, airlines canceling flights, cruise lines canceling. You know, Trump has tightened down the restrictions on China travel. So Paul, how is this impacting travel on your side of as what you see as an advisor? You have any clients or agents run into any issues? Anyone you know that's been traveling in China?
Well, so just a quick note. First thing, I want to commend you guys for, you know, the work that you're doing to keep people, you know, keeping the advisors up to date on, you know, without, by the way, the hysteria of the mainstream media. But just, you know, I mean, listen, we've seen 6 airlines cut out flights to China. You know, you're seeing cruise lines canceling cruises. You know, it's funny. We have a rep that just came back from China and spoke with her this morning. And she goes, some agencies don't want me to come in for the next couple of weeks. I mean, it's serious. You know, it's so densely populated. There's the healthcare system is pretty lean and they're running out of supplies, you know, and nutrition may not be what it is here in the United States. So I don't know if it's going to have the strength of, you know, a SARS or strength of here. And I don't think it's going to have that effect here in the United States. Again, I'm not a healthcare professional. I just own a travel agency.
Okay. Yeah.
But listen, we're seeing the cruise lines cancel, but you know, they also closed the Great Wall of China, the Terracotta Warriors. So they're, you know, so it's really, if you know, it's really effect. They don't want people moving around China. You know, they want people to stay put for the next couple of weeks and try not to go out, you know, to see a bunch of people. I mean, look, it even affected the stock market this weekend or on Friday. You know, the Dow was down 603 points. Mm. You know, that's because of this outbreak of the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like I think having some proactive measures in place or something to kind of, you know, precautionary things. I think maybe at times people are going a little bit, you know, a little bit overboard, like the one cruise ship that got turned away in St. Lucia and this and that. And there's a lot of things to definitely be cautious and aware of. I think one of the things Eric and I were mentioning earlier is, you know, staying healthy while traveling or things that you can do to kind of keep yourself, from without catching cold or an illness or the flu or something while traveling, because it happens to a lot of people when you're traveling, changing climates, getting on planes, being around masses of people like that. Is there anything that you maybe like some clients or tips that you pass along back and forth, or the amount of traveling you do? I mean, the amount of traveling that you go on, and I mean, there's bound to be times where you get sick. Is there anything like that you do that, you know, keeps yourself from getting sick or staying healthy while travel? Any tips around that area?
So, you know, it's interesting. You know, I've been to Mexico probably 30 times, and we probably go 4 times a year. And listen, I love Mexico. I think it's a great spot. But you know, people say, oh, you get, you know, you drink the water. We actually just purchased Life Straws, which are, it's basically a filtration water bottle. You know, so we're using those. That helps us. But again, I haven't gotten sick. Maybe I just have a pretty strong constitution. But I'll tell you what, I went to India and I got sick. I lost 12 pounds, which I probably needed to lose anyway. That's a lot. But But listen, you know, when we go on vacation, and there's really no such thing as real vacation for us, we're always seeing properties and things, but you know, trying to stay healthy. I mean, listen, I always bring a hat and sunscreen. Dan, you've seen my head, so I definitely need a hat, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah, definitely.
But we're always bringing bug repellent. We bring Imodium, you know, just in case you do happen to get some stomach distress, Ciproflaxin in case you really get sick, and, you know, Tylenol to help with those tequila headaches. And,
we could have used more of that in the DR.
And listen, if you're traveling, stay out of Chicago. They had 490 murders last year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you stay safe and healthy. Stay out of Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads right into another question here. Speaking of safety as it relates to travel, whether you're traveling domestically, internationally, a lot of different safety things we cover on Travel Pulse. And we actually just Eric recapped some of our January travel advisories. And a lot of these deal with international destinations. And I think we covered pretty much a very wide range of different things that happened there. Eric, would you want to touch on some of these travel advisories from January that happened? And maybe, Paul, I don't know if you've booked any clients to some of these places or if you've personally been to any and kind of want to touch on some of those. Eric, what were some of the ones that were mentioned in there, things that changed, or any really that jumped out?
Yeah, there were a few. I think about 12 destinations that were mentioned in this. We like to do recapping of the U.S. State Department's advisories every month. They issue out several. Some months are obviously more than others. Costa Rica jumped up to a state at level 2. Bolivia is a level 2. And then obviously China is kind of the big one of the month.
Do not travel. That's a 4.
Yes. That up to a do not. Iraq remains off limits due to terrorism as well. And those were kind of the ones that really jumped out there. So do you have any places that you advise travelers not to go with, or do you have like go-to safe destinations that you like to tell travelers, like, hey, if you're really concerned about this or that, you should really visit these places or anything like that?
Yeah. Have you sent anybody to Iraq recently, Paul?
But you know what? I'm sorry.
Have you sent anybody to Iraq recently?
Yeah, no. Although my son-in-law just came back from Qatar because he's in the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
Not a whole lot of people going there either, you know, but, you know, listen, we send a ton of people to Costa Rica. By the way, you know, the United States is a 2. So
yeah,
for future reference,
yeah.
You know, listen, am I going to go to Harlem in the middle of the night? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Right.
You
keep your head on a swivel all the time when you're walking around. Listen, if you can walk around New York City, you can walk around just about anywhere in Europe and in just about anywhere on the planet. Right. Listen, you're going to stay away from places that you know are bad. And listen, if you go there, expect trouble, right? There's just common sense that, just to go around. I mean, you know, I was down in Costa Rica and they were talking about, you know, 16 people died because of fake booze. They neglected to mention that those 16 people are all locals and they were drinking from their own still and they were drinking methanol. You know, it's just... But, you know, they don't go in. And this was happening while we were down there. So it's, and by the way, everything was wonderful. Costa Rica loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of really amazing things from their tourism board. One of my best friends who just went on his honeymoon there stayed at 2 separate properties. One, I don't know the name of it. It was near a volcano. And then I believe they stayed at a Secrets on the coast. And both, I mean, the pictures and everything from and stories I've heard from it, nothing but great times doing that, doing excursions outside of the properties. It seems like a really awesome country to go visit and explore. There's a lot going on that you can do there. So, yeah, exactly. Like you said, that's how mainstream media likes to twist things. It's like, oh, there's people dying from drinking alcohol, and they leave out a lot of really particular things a lot of people would need to know, whether they were, you know, locals, what they were doing, and you know, the alcohol that they were actually drinking. So
yeah,
that's a fine example of something like that happens. Yeah. And while we're talking about too, we have about great destinations, great travel things, and all these different awesome things that we're talking about. Coming up next week is a very big week for travel, as it is Travis week for us. I'm going to get your take on the Travis here, because the Travis is going to be the 6th annual Travis Awards. It's basically like the Oscars of the travel industry. Everybody gets all dressed up. We go to Gotham Hall in the middle of New York City, and the best of the best in travel, it's all voted on by travel agents. They vote on their favorite suppliers, and the best companies win in all the different categories, cruise and tourism boards and hotels, you name it. So, Paul, give me one of your, as I've always talked to people that, you know, I work with, we help run the event and put it on, but I want to hear from somebody, from an agent like yourself that has attended the event, I think 3 or 4 times now. What do you like about the event, and what do you take from it, and kind of just give me like your thoughts and perspectives on the Travis Awards?
Well, first thing, I mean, it's held at Gotham Hall, which is a, you know, 100-year-old bank, and it has been, you know, completely redone as a banquet facility. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful facility. And, you know, it's a great place to go. And listen, you're seeing every one of your, you know, all the, you know, it's the who's who of the travel industry come to the Travis Awards. It's a great place to mix and mingle with your vendor partners, also with your, you know, with your supplier partners. You know, we're also members of Signature Travel and Signature Travel Network, and, you know, all, everyone from Signature Travel's there. And it's a fantastic, I mean, we've been to 4 of the last 6, and come next week, it's 5 of the next 6. And it's just an absolutely fun night. I like the fact that it's voted on by travel advisors, rather than who's spending the most in, you know, advertising dollars, which would be, you know, some of the other award ceremonies, I'm not quite sure. But listen, Travis is it's always a fun night. You guys always mix it up, and it's fun.
It's going to be a very good time. We're going to have a good time. I don't know if it's going to be as good of a time in the DR, but, you know, we'll see what we can come up with in New York. We're going to have, you know, we'll see where the night takes us. But, I've thoroughly enjoyed helping run the event the past few years. We've had over 100,000 travel agent total votes. Not unique travel agents, but travel agents casted more than 100,000 votes in the past 2 years. Last year was a record high. This year became close to that record high. But there's going to be a lot of really good winners out there. A lot of winners you may expect, and a lot of surprises in different categories as well. So it's always changing every year, because travel agents are always out there doing different things, seeing different places, working with different suppliers. So it's always interesting. It's not the same people that spent, like you said, the buying wins or anything like that. So it'll definitely be a very, very good time for all that night, as our 6th annual Travis happening next week. And Eric, you and I are going to be recording a special episode of this podcast live from New York next week. So I'm looking forward to that with you as well.
Yeah, me too, Dan. It's always good to get in person and see you. I know working remote and living down here in Georgia, don't get to meet up too often. So I'm looking forward to that. That's one thing I really love about the Travis too, is just great for networking and meeting new people as well. So Paul, though, speaking of agents and advisors and everything, what are some tips and trends that you have for agents and advisors? What are you seeing in the marketplace right now? Any big trends that people should know about?
So some of the things that we're seeing in the marketplace is, the dollar's incredibly strong against the euro. It's, you know, it's down to 110, it was 111 this morning, something like that. Fantastic, right? So basically Europe's on sale, Italy, France, Spain. We're seeing a lot of Croatia. People are really starting to look at Croatia as a destination. Costa Rica, still hot, you know, especially down by Liberia. The El Mangrove is a really cool hotel down there. One of the really cool spots that we just saw was getting down to Merida, Mexico, where it is, I mean, first thing I want to say, another magazine called it the cleanest and safest city in all of Mexico. Plus, you have all the ruins, the Mayan ruins, you know, down in Uxmal and Chichen Itza. You know, seeing Chichen Itza at sunrise was absolutely magical. It's just fantastic, and plus, it's so cost effective. Merida is a Spanish colonial city. that is, it's really, really well done. There's two great hotels down there that I really like, is the Uxmal Lodge and the Maya Land Hotel. And they're both run by the Barbicano family. And, you know, you can, by the way, you can drive around the property in vintage Land Rover Discoveries. They have horses that you can rent to just drive around the properties. You get early admission into the ruins because it's right across the street. Or in the case of the Maya Land Hotel, it's right on the property of Chichen Itza, which is just wonderful. Take a day or two, go out there, see the property, get a chance to relax and walk around. And then by the time you get back, it's time for breakfast. Fantastic.
Can't beat that.
No. And the food was phenomenal. It's like real traditional Mexican food, which I really like. By the way, we're selling a lot of Maldives. The Maldives are fantastic, and a lot of safari. So, you know, there's a real movement towards adventure tourism and more experiential travel. We're seeing G Adventures has done a fantastic job from the point of experiential travel. And listen, there's a lot of great providers out there. By the way, the Maldives, never seen this price. It's $8,000 for a week at Club Med. And the airfare is only $1,100. That's the cheapest we've seen the Maldives. That's fantastic. That's amazing.
Are there any other good travel deals out there that regular travelers should be aware of?
First thing, so by the way, right now it's waves, right? So it's you know, the first quarter of the year on the cruises, it's wave season. So they got some of the best specials, cruise promos between Norwegian Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean, and Celebrity all have fantastic specials going on right now. So you should really try to call TravelSmiths, and we can totally help you out, because by the way, these specials change very quickly. So you need an advisor that understands and knows what's going on.
Absolutely. As we preach every episode, it's the way to go. So Paul, we really appreciate you jumping on, taking the time with us and providing a lot of insight for our listeners.
Eric, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you next week up at the Travy Awards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how can people find you? Give your plug.
The best way to get in touch with us at TravelSmiths is, you know, either contact us by phone at 732-899-8400. Again, 732-899-8400. Or looking for us on the web in www.travelsmiths.com. Or you can reach out to my beautiful bride, Sally Jane, who is the president and COO. And her email is sally@thetravelsmiths.com. So just I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. You know, we're also a firm believer of helping other agents. You know, listen, a rising tide lifts all boats. So we believe that by helping each other get stronger, I think it creates a better industry.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent way of putting it. So any agents that if you want to get in contact with Paul and TravelSmiths, contact him at those the information he gave. And you can always reach out to us here at the podcast at podcast@travelpulse.com. Paul and Sally Jane that run TravelSmiths, you can reach out to them as well. That's sally@thetravelsmiths.com. They'll always be able to help any types of agents that are looking for questions about things in the industry and how things are happening. So we appreciate that and appreciate you joining us today. And Eric and I will see you at the Travy Awards next week. So thank you again for joining us.
I look forward to seeing you guys. Guys, thank you again for having me on the on your podcast. You guys are rocking it. You're doing a great job.
Thanks again for joining us, Paul. Always love having insightful agents that come on and talk to us about these types of things. It's great to get all different types of perspectives. And coming up next week, like Eric and I mentioned, we talked about the Travies a lot before and during our interview segment with Paul here. But next week is a big week for the travel industry, as the Travy Awards are on Wednesday, February 12th. That is next week, Wednesday the 12th. Eric and I are both going to be in New York for that. So we're actually going to do our first face to face across the same table recording a podcast together. In case you haven't noticed with the audio differences here, Eric is recording remotely. I am in our headquarters. Now we're finally going to be on the same frequency. It's going to be a great time. And along with that as well, we're going to have a special announcement on the podcast coming up on there, which we're not going to mention here yet, but we're also going to have a special guest. We're going to have the first CEO on the podcast next week while we're in New York. We're going to go over to their fancy headquarters. Yes, they actually gave us clearance to enter there. It's going to be quite the time. Eric and I are going to interview a CEO of a major travel industry supplier. It's going to be a very good time. Looking forward to that, interviewing a CEO on here. We're going to have a lot of really good insights on the industry at large. Really looking forward to that, Eric.
Same, Dan. And if you would like to reach us in any way, with feedback, insight, you want to join us on the show sometime, we'd love to hear from you. podcast@travelpulse.com. That's the way to reach us. And we would also love if you left us a review. Wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, whatever you do, please leave us a review. We love feedback. We love to hear from you. And we thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you all for listening. Leave a review, get in touch with us. Stay tuned for that big announcement and guest next week coming to you from the Travie Awards in New York City. We'll see you then.